As I said, we will continue looking at this psalm, so we'll read Psalm 37 again. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy, and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him, shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. As I said, we've been looking at the 37th Psalm, this Psalm of David. David wrote it to give us instruction, to tell us, "Fret not because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." A psalm written by David when he was old. In verse 25 we read, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Because of David's experience, he could write this psalm. He could remind us that we're not to fret about the evildoers, to be envious of those workers of iniquity. And this is a common problem amongst God's people. If you remember in Psalm 73, that Psalm of Asaph that we looked at the other evening on a Thursday, Asaph writes, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Fretting about evildoers, the workers of iniquity, a problem throughout the ages. And I'm sure it can be a problem, a temptation for us. As we read in Proverbs, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked." Or again, Proverbs write, "Let not thy heart envy sinners." Jeremiah said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore do the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously?" A problem for every Christian to look at the wicked, to look at the evildoers and think they're prospering. And we can so often fret and worry about that. And it's one of the darts that Satan will use to attack Christians, cause Christians to doubt the goodness of their God. And that is why David writes, "Fret not because of the evildoers," to protect us from worrying, because fretting is worrying and can cause us to become angry. As we saw this morning about Hannah, when she was fretting, she knew bitterness of soul, and bitterness of soul can rob us of our insurance, can rob us of our comfort, can leave us without that peace that the perfect man has, as we read in verse 37. "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." But if we are fretting, we will lose that peace. Again, Paul, writing the Hebrew, says, "Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." If we fret, we can be prone to sin. Verse 8 of this psalm gives us the reason for not fretting. "Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." If we do start fretting and get angry and get worked up, we can be prone to take the law into our own hands. We will be tempted to sin. We might even sin. As I mentioned this morning, we hear of, particularly in America, of those Christians that take the law into their own hand about abortion clinics and bomb them and attack people that visit them. And so, fret not, a real problem for believers. This morning we considered the evildoers. We saw how they appear to prosper. But if you read that psalm, you will see the numerous times that David says, "They shall be cut off." They will be cut off. They may appear to prosper in the short term, but long term, there's no prosperity for them. And again, as Christians, we're prone to look and see how they prosper. But again, as we read in Proverbs, remember those words of Agar: "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." If we're fretting about the prosperity, if we're fretting because we don't have much of this world's goods, what is the danger? That we'll seek after more and we'll grow fat and rich and deny our God, or we'll be tempted to steal and so deny our God, take the name of our God in vain. As verse 16 says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." If we're content with what we have, we won't fret, and godliness with contentment is great gain. If we know that contentment, we'll be content with what we have. We won't be envious of those that appear to be more prosperous. And remember, envy starts with covetousness. And if we have become envious, we begin to break that 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And envy is the start of covetousness, and we'll break the tenth commandment, and none of us want to break God's law. And so there's this very severe warning against envy. And if we're envious of the evildoer, we're seeking to lay up treasure in on earth rather than treasure in heaven. And so if we find that we're envious, we need to examine our heart and see why, see what's happening to our spiritual state. We need to take heed to David when he says, "Fret not thyself in any wise." Sorry. "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." As I said, if we are fretting, we can come bitter and we become no better than the evildoers, no better than the workers of iniquity. As I said this morning, we considered the evildoers. And if you go through and see how David reminds us that those that appear to prosper, those workers of iniquity, will be cut off. As we read just in verse 35, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spread himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Those people that appear to prosper with this world's good will be cut off in the end. And as we look at David's strategy for dealing with a fretful heart, before we do that, remember about Hannah. She prayed to the Lord and her fretting ceased, her bitterness ceased. And don't we sing so often that hymn, and we need to remind ourselves that if ever we have that fretting heart, we need to do as this hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything in God in prayer." And so if we have those trials and those temptations, do we carry them to our God in prayer? Are we a praying people about the state of our hearts, whether when we begin to fret and we're envious of the workers of iniquity? As I said, you can go down and you can look through the various verses and see how those evildoers, those workers of iniquity, are cut off. The second verse says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So why are we envious of them? They will perish. But the saint, as we reminded ourselves, will inherit the earth, will know the blessings of God, and that is much better than all the prosperity of the wicked. As we remind ourselves, Paul warns us, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The evildoers and those workers of iniquity are going to fall into the hands of the living God to be judged for their wickedness. And so why are we envious of them? Why are we tempted at their prosperity? And again, Proverbs tells us, "An inheritance may be gathered hastily at the beginning, but the end of thereof shall not be blessed." The evildoers might make, as it were, a quick buck, but at the end, they won't be blessed for it. As I said, if we are fretting, it can lead to sin. And David's way of dealing with this is summed up. He says, "Fret not." And then verse 8, "Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not." A mark of a Christian is someone that has self-control. We need to be in control. as I said, the marks of a Christian, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we are Christians, we're supposed to show the fruit of the Spirit, that temperance, that control, not being swayed by prosperity. We're dead to this world, so we shouldn't be interested in the prosperity of the envious, of the wicked and the workers of iniquity. And again, we shouldn't be envying either one another, even believers we can be guilty of envying them at times. But we're to show that restraint. And that's why David says, fret not, command, take control of yourself, don't fret. And so David moves on and instructs us how to live in this world of evildoers, how to resist the temptation, to be tempted by their apparent prosperity. And if we are concerned by what is going on, worrying about the situation, if we are fretting, let us take heed of these injunctions that we'll consider. But remember, everything should be covered in prayer. And David's advice on how to deal with the temptation to fret. In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord. And so, if we find ourselves fretting, if we're finding difficulty from ceasing from fretting, if we can't depart, as we're told in verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, our responsibility is to trust in the Lord. Our responsibility is to delight ourselves in the Lord, to commit our way unto the Lord, and to rest in the Lord. And trust in the Lord. That's where we begin our Christian path, isn't it? When we had faith in the Lord. When we trusted in the Lord for our salvation. And so we're to live by faith. We're to remind ourselves that we are living, trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in the prosperity of the wicked. Not looking round for what the wicked have got. But our trust is to be in the Lord, not in riches. Remember that farmer that built bigger barns, forgetting that his soul would be required. Our trust and our faith is in the Lord, nothing else. And as we begin our life as Christians, we're to carry on throughout our life, trusting, having faith in God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. What did we do? When we became a Christian, we acknowledged that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we start to fret and be envious of the wicked, of the evildoers, what are we doing? We're saying the evildoers, those workers of iniquity, have the right way. That is false. No, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So we're to trust Christ, we're to follow Christ, we're to trust in the Lord. And if we're doing that, we won't be envious of the evildoers, of those workers of iniquity. And if we have that faith and that trust, we will look at these precious promises that David reminds us of. Verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We trust the Lord to fulfill those promises, that the meek shall inherit the earth. We shall inhabit that new earth and that new heaven, and we shall know that peace, the abundance of peace, the peace that only God can give, the peace that passes all understanding, because he's the God of peace. The evildoers, the workers of iniquity, can never give that peace. God has promised it to those that trust him, those that have faith in Christ. And remember, in that new heaven and that new earth, there will be no evildoers, no workers of iniquity, no one to be envious of, because we will see Christ and be satisfied. That abundance of peace, that is the promise for all those that trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 37 again says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The perfect man is that man that has trusted in Christ, that has been clothed with Christ's righteousness, that is walking according to God's ways, according to God's law, his upright. And the end of that man is peace. You can't say that about the workers of iniquity. You can't say that about the evildoers. And then verse 18 of our psalm says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. There's that promise to those that trust God, that trust the Lord, that trust Christ. Their inheritance shall be forever. Everlasting life with Christ. What a blessing. Why are we envious of the prosperity of the wicked? Because that is short-lived and will be cut off. But the promise to those that are upright, that are trusting in the Lord, that inheritance forever. And as you read through the psalm, we come across verses like verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints, they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. As we pass through this wicked world, as we mix with those evildoers because of we're in the world, the Lord has promised to supply all our needs, to keep us, to preserve us. He will never leave or forsake him, but we're to trust the Lord. And then this finally, in the psalmist sums it up, he says, but the salvation of the righteous is the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. And so if we find ourselves tempted to fret, tempted to worry about the evildoers, let us trust the Lord. Let us ask for more faith to strengthen our faith. Let us look at our Lord. Let us look at us, our Saviour. And our trust will show itself, because we'll fret not. We'll depart from evil. We'll demonstrate our trust in the Lord by taking heed to his word, obeying his word. And then David says in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Why are you fretting? Why are you envious of the evildoer? It's an indication that your delight is not in the Lord. Your delight is in the prosperity of the wicked, in those material things that we have. But if we've trusted in the Lord, our delight should be in our Saviour. Our delight should be in our God. As Christ reminds us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where they break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where is your heart? Where is your trust? Where is your faith? Where is your delight? Are you delighting in the God of your salvation? Delighting in God, in his goodness, in his mercy, in his long-suffering, in all those many blessings that he has given us. Those small things, the little that a righteous man hath, is better than the riches of many wicked. The Lord provides for us, and let us be content with what he has. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked. How often have you heard of those that have amassed great wealth? They're worried about losing it. They might have amassed wealth by taking shortcuts, by being devious. But if you've got it because you're a righteous man, no one can take it away. The Lord has provided, and no one can take it away. And so do we delight in Christ? Do we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith? are our eyes firmly fixed on Christ, is he our delight. Because if we are delighting him, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And that's the way that we protect ourselves from fretting about the prosperity of the evildoers. And so if we trust in the Lord, we should also be delighting in him, delighting in all that God has done, in all those riches that he has given us. As verse 22 tells us, for such as be blessed from him shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. All the riches in the earth are the saints. God has promised them to his saints, to those that trust in him, to those that delight in him. And so let us continually to delight in our Lord. But we show our delight in our Lord by doing his will. We show our delight by remembering and reading his word, by walking according to his word, by doing his commandments. As verse 23 says, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the law, and he delighteth in his way. Do we delight in God's word? Do we delight in hearing God's word preached? Because if we delight in God's word, we will find that protection against fretting about the evildoers. And we show our delight by going to the Lord's house to worship him. As the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. If you remember Asaph, when he was fretting about the prosperity of the wicked, the thing that helped him was when he went into the sanctuary and he saw his Lord. If we're delighting in the Lord, we won't be fretting about evildoers, about their prosperity. And our delight is maintained if we delight to gather together with the Lord's people, with the assembly of fellow believers. That's one of the ways that the Lord has helped us, has given us. He's given us the church. He's given us fellowship of like minds. Because if we're united in the faith, if we're all trusting in the Lord, if we're all looking at the Lord, it'll encourage us to look to the Lord. You know, with a crowd, you can get people all to look at one thing if you stand there and look. And so it is with the people of God. If their eyes are firmly fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, then that will encourage each one of us to look to the Lord and not look to the prosperity of the wicked. And so meeting with the people of God is another provision that the Lord has given us, and it shows our delight in our God that we assemble ourselves together. And then David says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When we become a Christian, we say that we're trusting in the Lord. And what does that mean? That we're going to follow him. We're going to commit our way. We're not going to go the way of the evildoer, the way of the worker of iniquity. We might have run with them one time, but we're going to turn our backs upon them. We're going to go the way that the Lord would have us do. We will die to self. We won't have that interest in treasures on earth. We will have that interest in those treasures in heaven. We will commit ourselves to reading God's word, to following God's word, to heeding God's word, to obeying his commandments, to keeping his commandments. And committing ourselves to God's words mean, as we read in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the law, and he delighteth in the way. The way that we go, if we're committed, is God's way, which is revealed unto us in his word. We follow his word. We don't follow the evildoers, those workers of iniquity. If we're committed to following the Lord, we read in verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is perfect. The law of God is that perfect guide, is that perfect way of commitment. And it will keep us on that narrow way. It will prevent us from straying on to that broad way. And in keeping God's word, he will preserve us. As we read in verse 31, none of his steps shall slide. That is if the law of God is in our hearts and being followed. And so we trust the Lord, we delight in the Lord, we commit our way unto the Lord. And in doing so, we're guaranteed, we're promised that it's sure and certain. As we read in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Lord will bring that way to pass. He will preserve us. He will keep us. He will bring it to pass. Verse 28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. If we're trusting, if we're delighted, if we're committed to the Lord, he will preserve, he will keep us, he will strengthen us, he will help us on our pilgrim pathway. And we will be content with all that the Lord has provided. As I said, verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. We've trusted the Lord to provide. We've delighted in what the Lord has provided. We've committed all that the Lord has provided. And so we will be content. We won't be envious of the wicked. And then David goes on and says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The margin also can give a reading for rest, to be silent in the Lord. This idea of rest or being silent before the Lord is the logical progression of all that we've just said. If we've trusted in the Lord, if we've delighted in the Lord, in his way, in his word, if we've committed ourselves to the Lord, what more can we say? We can rest in the Lord. We don't need to say anything else. We can rest in his presence. We can know his peace. We can be still and know that he is God. And again, to be silent isn't one of the problems of being envious, of talking about it with other people. Continuing going on about the prosperity of the wicked can add to our enviousness. But if we appear before God, trusting, committed, delighting, we won't want to talk about the prosperity of the wicked. We will cease to fret. We will cease to be anxious about those evildoers. And so, when we appear before God, rest, be still, be quiet. Because again, coming before God, if we're envious about the wicked, what does it show? We're complaining to God that he has treated us unfairly, that he hasn't been kind to us, that he hasn't been good, that he hasn't led us in the best way. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows that if he increased our prosperity, we might grow fat and deny him. He has provided so that we don't need to steal. We can be content in the way that the Lord has led us, because the Lord is good, because the Lord has promised to preserve and keep those that are trusting in him, keep those that delighting themselves in him, keep those that have committed to the Lord. We're to rest and to wait upon the Lord. And if we're not waiting, it's a sure sign that we're discontented, that we think that we know best. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. So let us wait on the Lord and trust the Lord, because if we don't wait on the Lord and do those things in our own time, take the law into our own hands, we'll end up like verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. If we're not content to wait upon the Lord, we will so often rush in and do things foolishly and sinfully. And his ways are not our ways, but his way is perfect. As we read in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, waiting upon the Lord is sure and certain way of inheriting the earth, of being in heaven with our Saviour. Verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his ways. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. We're to wait for the Lord. The Lord is coming. The Lord will come in judgment to judge the workers of iniquity, to judge the evildoers. As we know in Peter, the second epistle of Peter reminds us of that great day, doesn't it? In 2 Peter we read, chapter 3 and verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The ungodly aren't willing to wait. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world, when it was being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The Lord is coming again to judge the world, and we're to wait. We're to have that patience, because in that day the prosperity of the wicked will be cut off. It will amount to nothing. And so we're not to be willfully ignorant, as Peter warns us. The Lord has told us to wait, and if we're trusting, if we're committed, if we're delighting, we'll be prepared to wait for the Lord, because when he comes, it will be a glorious day for those that are his. We won't be fretting about those that are prosperous or appear to be prosperous. We'll be waiting for the Lord. And those promises are exceedingly precious. We know that they're coming. And so we're to wait upon those promises. We're to wait on what the Lord has said he will do. And we're to be silent, not continually complaining. Because if we're continually complaining, it adds to the fretting, to the worrying about what is going on. And that perfect man that we read of in verse 37 is the man that trusting in Christ, that is committed to Christ, that delighting in Christ, that is waiting upon Christ. And that end for that man is peace. But the end of those that aren't trusting, committed, delighting, waiting, is they shall be cut off. That is the end of the evildoer. And so the summary of the reasons not to fret, why David tells us not to fret, is found for us in verses 39 to 40. He says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trusted in him. And so if we do find ourselves to fret, let us examine our hearts and trust the Lord. Let us delight in his ways. Delight in the provision of his word. Delight that we can have a church to go to and worship him. Commit our ways unto the Lord. Take heed to his law and follow his word. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon him. But if we find ourselves amongst those evildoers, those workers of iniquity, we find ourselves, we're seeking to be prosperous and we're not worried about the Lord. We need to trust him. We need to turn to the God of salvation, to seek his forgiveness, to seek the cleansing blood of Christ, to trust him for salvation, and to pray unto him that he will deliver us from the wicked. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 761. Lord, how happy should we be if we could cast our care on thee, if we from self could rest and feel at heart that one above, in perfect wisdom, perfect love, is working for the best. Hymn number 761. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.